Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, a minute past the hour, a minute and a half past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room like I just did and be a part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good evening, Anatole, Jugapunch, Trey, and good evening to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. I'm sure it'll get merry in there pretty quick as folks, as folks wander in at their leisure. Yes. Of course, it being the 6th day of January 2016, we find ourselves midweek of this first full broadcast week of 2016. And, well, yeah, that's, yep, it's definitely Wednesday. Henceforth, I think we're going to call those Ritzheimer pauses. Because we finally found somebody who takes bigger pauses between sentences than I do. That goober from the Oregon under attack standoff. Actually, that pause was occasioned by the necessity of a sneeze, which I'm sure you most assuredly did not want to hear. And there may be a few more of those this evening, because... What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my neighbor's thrown a few hunks of coal into his fireplace, and it seems to be worming its way underneath the door jams, around the door seals, and yeah, it's nasty. Really, really nasty. But we'll get through. We'll get through one way or the other. I would be remiss if I did not note before we go... Before we go into the bulk of the program, that this is in fact a listener-supported opportunity, engagement, undertaking, whatever we call it. We do it with your help, and frankly, we've had a tough week so far. Thanks to all of you who have helped so far, we would be in a far deeper hole without it. But as it stands, we need to raise about $290 this evening, and thanks to our subscribers for taking it that far down. No, no, I'm sorry. $320. Ciphering, gazettas. But at any rate, we have more than our usual $200 evening fundraising to accomplish, and Lord God, about $1,000 in bills that rather desperately need paying. So You know where the interface is, the horn interface. It's at it's under the tab contribute. Also, of course, I need to give you the mailing address if you prefer to operate via the occasionally, well, usually reliable United States Postal Service. And that is the horn for checks and money orders made payable not to Bob Kincaid, but to the horn. The horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And if you do that, then let me, an email would be helpful, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to keep the spider-proof gloves in the truck, because he might need to reach into the echo chamber. Yes. Oh, this is really, this coal-fired broadcast this evening is really gonna, oh, this sucks. Yeah, my eyes are watering. I'm not kidding. It is not pleasant. It is all, and there's also nothing I can do about it. You know, I mentioned the other night that it is, we're coming up on the second anniversary of the Freedom disaster, when, 10,000 gallons or so of methyl chlorohexane methanol Freedom got into the Elk River and poisoned 300,000 people. Yeah, saw a newspaper story yesterday saying the state of West Virginia is about to go, oh, screw the investigation. We don't need to know any more about what happened. No, really, we're just going to... Because, I mean, why not? Why not? The Republican legislature's there. They're running things. Governor Earl Ray Tomlin is a dino of the first order. And, you know, it's not like even 1% of the poisoned people showed up to protest after they got poisoned. Yeah, not even 3,000. So why not? Just forget about it. And you, so some hillbillies got poisoned again. We've been doing that for for generations. Screw them. Huh? Suckers. Yeah, but it's Wednesday, and you know what that means, the middle of the week, more than that, more than downhill to Friday, more than just hump day. Oh no, brethren and sisters, oh no, it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, glory, hallelujah. So what we will do is we'll chase the deacons in from where they've been out there in the parking lot smoking with the sinners. We had a lovely dinner in the fellowship hall. Sometimes the little old blue-haired ladies like to get right creative down in the fellowship hall kitchen. They take to thinking that they should maybe take a run at something different from the usual meat and potatoes and whatnot that they do, and they do it very well. And so, in an effort to provide a little depth of winter happiness to the young'uns, it was pizza night. Absolutely, it was. And they made their own homemade pizza dough, and there was pepperoni and sausage, and they got real creative, and there was a ham and pineapple one. Mm-hmm. They did a magnificent job. Yes, they did. And just a simple four-layer pie there, you know, with the pudding and the nutty crust and the cream cheese, sweetened cream cheese and the Cool Whip on top. Still, wasn't a scrap left. But the youngins did at least get some pizza. So, having trundled the deacons in out of the parking lot, through the vestibule, down past that bowl of 20-year-old desiccated butter mints, they're waiting down here for me to give the go so that we can... get prayer meeting Wednesday rolling. They'll be passing those big, heavy, velvet-lined brass plates by you, and with $330 in fundraising to do, well, that would that means that there's a PayPal button in the bottom of it there, brethren and sisters, and just hit it because the rent is due. The rent is due on the hangar for our Gulfstream 5 that we don't have. and the pool attendant and the cabana attendant and Agnes's masseur are all seeking to get paid, which we don't have. There, no. We're just trying to pay the bills here. Lots of internet bills, lots of telephony, all kind. Yeah, you betcha. And so, it just press that button, and hopefully, we can crawl up above the rim of this here hole that we find ourselves in. Heck, glory. Thank you very kindly, Brother Jeremy in Vermont, loud and clear on TuneIn. I do appreciate it. So let's get the Minister of Music up here. Let's get things started. Yes, indeed. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hot soot roasting on the real rye and a brawl of suet. I love you. Glory, hallelujah, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Ha! And I'm calling on you, brethren and sistren, to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and out there into the center of the tabernacle and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees and lay your hands upon the subwoofer there at the altar and feel the healing rays of common sense. A flowing glory, amen, from on high, through you and to you. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Magnificent Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Amen, amen, and amen. And brethren and sistren, we just passed the hat, the plate, as it were. We did, and we're trying, it's not a joke. We are behind in fundraising for the week. And we got pressing bills to pay. I joked talked about the hangar for the Gulfstream 5. But brethren and sistren, while we don't have one, others do. And we may have unfairly criticized them, those men of God, for their massive flying machines, amen. For it's there for any who care to have eyes to see and ears to hear, brethren and sistren, that they need, hallelujah, they need glory to God. They need their own air transportation. And there's none other than that upstanding man of God, that saver of lost souls, amen, Kenneth Copeland, to explain it all to us, for he hath the word of knowledge and discernment, amen. He went on the show hosted by a much lower rent, lower down on the food chain rung of the ladder, the gospel sharp by the name of Jesse Duplantis, to talk about why it is that men of God like him need massive multi-million dollar aircraft that they can use in their ministries and never have to pay a penny's worth of tax upon it. Amen. Amen. It is inspiring, ain't it?
Well, first, before I read the scripture, Amos chapter 6, Brother Copeland, I was flying home from a meeting, and
boy,
I had come out of a
tired.
Glorious meeting. I had just finished, me and Creflo Dollar were preaching, had a glorious meeting. So I was, for lack of a better way to say it, I was spiritually high. I said, people were saved, touched, and blessed. Got in the plane that God so graciously gave us, and we're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse,
I want to see the title that God gave him, an aeroplane. I want to see where it's signed, from God. Because I have a feeling that plane was purchased with oodles and oodles and oodles of money that came from, well, you know, morons. God forbid I should interrupt Brother Duplantis. God was getting ready to say something to him.
People were saved, touched, and blessed. Got in the plane that God so graciously gave us, and we're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd statement. I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord. Then he said this, so that's it? I didn't know how to handle that. I went, what? He said, you're going to let your faith stagnate? And when he said that, that shocked me. I went, what?
Oh, hell, he wants a better plane, doesn't he? Bigger plane. Because, you know, that's how it is. I mean, you're just sitting there when that big booming voice comes down and says, do you like your plane?
Well, I ain't got one.
Wouldn't you like to have one?
Well, I mean, there's other pressing things, and I mean, I'm in your service, Lord, and we're just trying to save souls, and I should probably be praying for somebody who's sick or afflicted with cancer or something like that.
Fuck them. I said, do you want a plane?
Well, I mean, if you insist, Lord, it costs a lot to fly them things.
It's not like I'm going to give you one with the tank empty.
Yeah, but what about the sick and the naked and the homeless?
There'll be plenty of time for dealing with them. I got a bargain on airplanes. There's an Air Force going out of business over here. And, well, I thought you might like to have one.
Well, I guess, God, I mean,
Go figure.
Oh, wait. I literally unbuckled my seatbelt, my plane. I stood up. My pilots looked around and said, do you need something? I said, no, I'm talking to God right now. And he went back to flying.
Yeah, I bet he did.
And Jesse's talking to God again. Generally, he only starts talking to God when he starts seeing him in the bottle of that fifth of cheap scotch.
I said, Lord, I don't think I was letting my faith stagnate. He said, so this is all I could ever do. I said, you're trying to tell me something. He said, go to the book of Amos.
So wait, there's something about airplanes in Amos? And I thought I thought the folks that wrote the Old Testament was a Bronze Age culture that was baffled by how wheelbarrows work. Son of a gun, who knew?
If you had the book of Amos, I want to read the scripture.
May I interrupt
right now.
You there,
yes,
for
sir.
A second?
We're not going to get to Amos because Kenneth Copeland has the word of the prophecy of knowledge laid on him by the Holy Spirit about airplanes. So, yeah, God, I can't wait till the day that we can tax the sons of bitches and they'll be grateful for pogo sticks.
You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir. No way.
Stand up and say, what'd you say, Lord?
No.
Okay, no, yeah. And the guy sitting over there saying, what the hell does he think he's doing? He
can't be- now, wait a minute. Why is Kenneth Copeland swearing? Just gets stranger and stranger, don't it?
You can't do that.
No, no. This is so important. And those of you that are just now coming into these things, in the first place...
And I've never met a person who's just now coming into an airplane. No. But if you are, Kenneth has a word of knowledge for you.
Jesse and I and others, Keith Moore and Creflo and all of us, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would have the mess that the airlines are in today. I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative.
Because he is very conservative. He wants to conserve his ability to have tax-free airplanes. He's very conservative. Kenneth Copeland ain't going to fly through Dallas and Atlanta and Detroit just to get to Peoria like the rest of us hoi polloi have to. I mean, God loves them more. Right?
At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there from here.
It's impossible.
So we this was such a good illustration. I just, the Lord impressed me. That's why.
Because, I mean, when you've got to fly into the, when you've got a revival down to the Barton Civic Center just outside of Cherokee, Alabama, any old aircraft won't do, and they don't hardly use the Muscle Shoals Airport no more. You'd probably have to fly into Huntsville, and then you gotta rent some tawdry little automobile. God's work will suffer.
We're on that airplane. We can talk to God.
Glory
we
to God. Can,
we,
it's true.
It's when I was flying for Oral Roberts, Brother DeWeese, my boss on the airplane, he said, now, Kenneth, this is sanctuary. It protects the anointing on Brother Roberts. And he said, you keep your mouth shut. Don't talk to him unless he talks, because when he's on a meeting, he doesn't talk to anybody but God. Now, Oral used to fly airlines.
Right.
But it even...
And somehow or another, he managed to talk to God when he was flying airlines, But Oral, that was back when he was just a low-rent faith healer running from tent revival to tent revival. That's before he built him a prayer tower and a university there in Tulsa and taught his son to philander, and his son wound up taking a whole bunch of money from the Hobby Lobby goons. And yeah, I mean, sure, yeah, he flew. But that was back when you could smoke on a plane, too, and it didn't suck to fly. When it started sucking to fly, that's when God said, no, really, you're going to need an airplane. I can't have you trying to cross the country without so much as a bag of peanuts there on United. That's ridiculous.
Yes, Lord.
Because see, we're just the little people. These are the people who matter.
Back there then, man, it got to the place where it was agitating his spirit,
sure.
People coming up to him. He right. had become famous, and they wanting him to pray for him and right. all that. You can't manage that today.
Right.
This dope-filled world.
Right.
And get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right. That's exactly.
All be dipped. That's it. Son of a gun. Demons. A long tube full of demons. And I thought that was just your Piggly Wiggly brand of hot dog, long tube full of demons. Nope, God can't hear you with your ass in coach. Nope, sorry. Because they're getting drowned out by them dope-filled demons. And see, this goes to show how long it's been since Kenneth Copeland was actually in the commercial part of an airport, because most of them you can't even smoke a cigarette in. It's pretty much a sure thing that nobody's standing there honking up a number. Mm-mm, sorry, no. Demons, dope-filled demons. And brother Copeland, would you like an injection of some marijuanas? I got some right here. Get away from me, you dope-filled demon! I don't drink nothing but 25-year-old single malt scotch, and they ain't got none of that back on their little menu here. Demons. It was demons kept them from letting me bring my scotch on board, my 25-year-old. Lagavulin, all the way. Yeah. God provides me that 25-year-old single malt scotch because it helps me to reach the spiritual plane where I can more appropriately commune with him.
Exactly.
And it's deadly.
And it works on your heart. It really does.
So I wanted to make that clear so the devil can't lie to you and say, see there, them preachers spending all that money, just fat cats riding around. No, we're not. We're in business. Listen.
There we go. And the goddess of irony comes through again. We in business. Now, granted, we get a tax-free exemption from it, and we make millions of dollars and live in mansions that we write off as parsonages and don't pay any tax on them either. We in business. He said it. I didn't.
I could scratch my flying itch with my little single-engine, open cockpit airplane.
Right.
I just come home, fly around in that, and scratch my flying itch. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. But
right.
we're in soul business here.
Right.
Yeah, soul business. Yeah. Soul business. And I don't think Kenneth Copeland has a flying itch. I'm guessing he's got more of a hooker itch, at least if he's anything like his buddy Jimmy Swaggart. I have sinned against you. Yeah, I feel. Yeah, I hate. I absolutely despise having to fundraise for this program to keep this all on the air. I buy my stupid little lottery ticket and think, yeah, by golly, if we could ever just hit a lick, I'd go on the air the next night and say, we ain't going to ask for never a penny, never again. Not for a piece of equipment, not for the bills, not for nothing. And we'll just continue this little conversation and have a fine old time for it. And then I think, well, you know, if it was a big enough lottery lick, you know, for that dollar, hell, I could just send back all the money that everybody sent us to keep us on the air all these years. I hate it. But it's the only way this goes forward. You know, we don't have any ads for Buy Gold Now or vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls off of mattresses designed in Sweden from foam pioneered by NASA for the moon missions. We just don't. And I wouldn't feel particularly good about no.
So this is what we got to do.
Then we do it a dollar at a time, $5 a time. We can't do it a 747 at a time. And I don't know that I want a plane. Central heat would be nice. But a plane, not so much.
We got a dying world around us, Jesse. We got a dying nation around us.
That's right.
And we can't even get there on the airline.
You can't. Let me give you an example before I read the scripture. Some people say, why do you need an airplane? It started out about a couple of weeks ago. I was in Fort Worth. I preached on a Friday night and a Saturday. I was in Fort Worth preaching for Jerry Savelle. Sunday morning, I was in Boston, Massachusetts. Monday, I was in New Orleans. Tuesday, I was in Chicago. Wednesday, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thursday, I was in New Orleans. Friday, I was in San Antonio, Texas. Saturday, I was in New Orleans.
You know, you'd think that the Almighty, being the Almighty and everything, could magically transport him from place to place. But the almighty powers of the creator of the universe extend, I guess, only so far. And if he gets a flying itch, you know, he can scratch his flying itch with the slum plane that he keeps in the garage over there in the Port Cochere. Wow. Isn't pride a sin? Well, why is he asking if he's proud of his plane? You like your plane? Oh, you like it a lot? Like it a real lot. So, to review, God will knock the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly and Richie Valens out of the sky. He'll waste Lynyrd Skynyrd. But these flim-flam artists, yeah, you keep it. God is a good God, huh? Ain't God good, y'all?
Monday, I was in another city. I actually have a Delta captain that lives close to my house. I brought him that schedule. I said, can you fly this? He said, no, and I wouldn't. When do you sleep? We're about the
farthest
on the airplane. It's the only way I can grab it, see?
Yeah.
Now, when God is speaking this to me, he said, so this is all I could ever do. And I'm thinking, in myself, well, yeah, this is a phenomenal aircraft you're giving us. He said, then when he said, you're going to let your fate stagnate, now that caught my attention.
Oh, my God, this is leading up to the pitch for the A380. I just know it. Is some emir over in the Middle East selling his gold-plated A380? Is that it?
God tells you your fate's stagnating. Yeah. You better start listening.
Well, yeah.
And I thought, stagnating?
You can't stay here.
Yeah.
You got to do this or you're going to do this.
You can't stay here and you got to climb or you're going to fall. We got hand gestures here that I have to interpret for you through the good offices of the Holy Spirit. And apparently, no, the Almighty can't get, what's his name? Brother Dupree. Can't get him a better schedule. Can't get him Boston. Well, hell no, because you got to make all them rounds to get all them tithes. Don't you understand? And what does he say in our opening hymn? And it's old tax free. Yeah.
Said this. You're on cruise control. You're moving, but no longer by your power. See?
That's what the DVD is about.
That's what that DVD is about.
Yeah,
he said, you're moving, but no longer by your power.
See it.
You see, you're just doing this. Now, watch this scripture. Now, I got to stop on the first word. Amos chapter 6, verse 1.
But they didn't keep the clip with us long enough to find out what the hell Amos chapter 6, verse 1 is. Well, I got to find out, because, you know, as Steve notes, with our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening, turns out God does need a starship. So what do we got here? Now, we got to have it in the King James Version, because we all know that's the language God speaks. Hebrew, please. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Time out. Coal-fired sneeze coming up. Okay. Get out the cheap tequila, because if you hear airplane in here anywhere, everybody drink. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh and see. And from thence go ye to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves out upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and instead of straight out of the bottle like Brother Dupree, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. Ointments. No, rub faster, honey. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord hath sworn by himself. That either means he was alone, or he said, by me I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. No airplanes. That just beats all. There I am looking for airplanes in the... Oh, no, that's the starship, and it's in Ezekiel. Oh, God. Robert in Australia... Now, Bob, hold on a moment. This guy tells people God talks to him directly and that God says you need a bigger, better, more expensive aeroplane, and people believe him? What sort of effed up people believe a con man this transparent, and God wants the poor to pay for it for him? My first question, why doesn't God just magic the plane and make it a 747? Abracadabra. I'm a vampire. Abracadabra. I'm an umpire. Abracadabra. I'm a bat. Oh, Warner Brothers cartoons, how I love you. Yeah. Robert, one can never, ever, ever go broke in this country underestimating the stupidity of the American people, or B, preying upon it. Truly. Marty pointing out, first rule about holes, when you're in one, stop digging.
He's digging all the way to... Marty, you don't think they're sitting around just...
Brother Dupree, did you see the A380 that Shake Your Booty has? Mm-hmm. Now, how is it you figure Allah would let Shake Your Booty have an A380 like that, but he won't let us have one? It's time to go to the rubes. I mean parishioners. Oh, Jesus. um
Two emails coming from Michael and Madison. Bob, I just tuned in. Did I miss the toaster, T-O-S-T-R, tonight's obligatory Star Trek reference? Not to be confused with the nightly toaster giveaway, although they may occasionally overlap. You know, what does God need with an airplane? And then the second email says, literally, I hit send as you said Star Trek. Kismet. Yikes. The goddess of irony. Don't miss a lick. No. Not even. And there's our bumper. And we got to do that to get it queued up. Perfect. Because it's a real icky song in the first place. Marty pointing out, a couple of the early delivered A380s are coming up on their D-checks. Basically, take apart and rebuild the plane. Cheaper for an airline to sell that jet and buy a new one. Yeah, but you know what? God don't want Cousin Dupree to have no rebuilt jet. God doesn't deal in rebuilt aircraft. He only wants the best for his servants. Amen and amen. Now, meanwhile, from the Department of Good God Fearing Upstanding Bible Believing Christ Centered Christians. We have heard from Theodore Shobot before. He's a T-rumper. And last month he was after yoga studios because they like aircraft with coach in it are full of demons. Mm-hmm. Well, the demons are everywhere, and you know where the demons are most easily to be found? Women, people. One of the, you know, ever since Eve had that conversation with that gossipy Gabon viper, if you get born all woman-like, you just got terminate and stay resident demons in you. Mm-hmm. And he's upset. He's upset with some women and what they do with crucifixes. Yeah. Never mind the hungry, never mind the naked, the homeless, the imprisoned, the sick. Nope. Women.
I don't believe that attacks against Christianity should be tolerated. Vehement attacks. I understand people are raised in a false religion or they're in a false worldview, and I can tolerate that. But there are people out there who are just absolutely vindictive against Christianity and
make
all sorts of blasphemous declarations and blasphemous acts. For example, they'll get crucifixes. Like, there's these feminists in France.
There's these feminists in France, and he don't have an airplane, and he's trying to work his way into an airplane via YouTube. It's about the airplanes, but never mind. There's these feminists in France, and they get crucifixes, and yeah.
Crucifixes, and they'll put the crucifix up their anuses. Those people should not be tolerated. That happened in Italy, and if I was ruling Italy, if the Italian government called me up and said, Theodore, what do you think we should do? I would say you need to arrest those women and burn them at the stake, because that stuff cannot be tolerated. Because as soon as you allow attacks on Christianity to be enabled and to thrive, then the Christian spirit begins to decay. It begins to decline. And all sorts of moral evils take place, like public acts of sodomy, public acts of desecration and degenerate behavior and murder. And it's a spiral. It goes on, and pretty soon you have cannibalism, pretty soon you have bestiality, pedophilia.
Now, wait a minute. Rick Santorum, is that you with a cheesy beard and thin mustache get up on? Because any poor old Aristotle spinning again. Unassailable logic Theodore Shobat has. If some feminists in Italy or France or something,
and they take the crucifixes and they, that would have to hurt. I mean, and is it the business end of the crucifix or the stick it in the ground end of the crucifix? I don't care. Either way, that's gotta hurt. I don't believe it's happening. I personally think they're saying they did it just to watch the Theodore Showbots of the world hop up and down like the like the little the demented evangelical monkeys that they are. Mm-hmm. And that is without regard to ethnicity. And it's probably a damned insult to most of the primates that I would thereby reference. So I take it back. But you know, one minute they're doing that with the, and the next thing you know, you're into bestiality. Sit, Liberty, sit. And you go from bestiality to cannibalism. Smog. Yeah. And the only way you're gonna did I get that in the right order?
And murder.
Oh,
and
murder.
And it's a spiral. It goes on and on, and pretty soon you have cannibalism. Pretty soon you have bestiality, pedophilia.
Oh, the pedophilia comes after the bestiality and the cannibalism, and after the murder. Sure.
Pedophilia.
You're gonna have to do something about them Theodore. You're never gonna get your airplane. And really, the baby puke green Adidas jacket with the baby poop brown stripes on it ain't helping none neither. Mm-hmm. We're gonna keep your ears open and your eyes open. We've got a case of Christian persecution coming. This will be big news in the right-wing persecution complex, Christianity industrial complex. Melanie and Gregory Magazoo want to adopt more children. The demon-filled Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled this past Monday that they can't. The reason the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court made that ruling is because Melanie and Gregory Magazoo want to be able to beat the bejesus out of their children. They said now they only spank their children in the bathroom so they wouldn't be humiliated. Yeah. And last August, a Worcester County Superior Court judge said, nope, sorry, we're going to reject the application. Because, quote, it could very well trigger the very trauma that the placement was intended to mitigate. They have to protect their kids. We get that. That was Melanie Magazoo saying, but I think not every family that's spanking is an abusive family. Beat your children well, give them some hell that they can live by, and whack them on their butts. Well, we don't have time to draft some song parody on the program. We got too much to get to, but yeah, this will be pick one, Huckstorby, Ted Cruz will have a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy about it. I mean, he's right there in New Hampshire. I'm sure he's mentioning it in some stump speech even this evening. And they cited as the reason they should adopt more children to beat that verse from that book that was written by Bronze Age people who were baffled by how wheelbarrows work. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Whack him again. Put a little stank on it this time. Yeah, sure. Because God's love, y'all. Mm-hmm. Oh, so much.
And then there's, because we haven't heard from him in a while, there's good old Chappie Klingenschmidt, a member of the Colorado House of Representatives, Chappie Klingenschmidt. Yes, absolutely. Chappie Klingenschmidt was drawn to the Hee-Haw Caliphate Oregon under attack standoff, like one of them shiny green flies to a pile of poo. Mm-hmm. He went on his Facebook page and here's what he said. Caps lock on. All judges, caps lock off, who do not allow constitutional law to be cited to the jury, needs to be, all caps lock on, prosecuted, caps lock off, for Title 18 U.S. Code Section 2381, capital felony treason. Now, here's what Title 18 U.S. Code Section 2381 says. When in the presence of two witnesses to the same overt act or in an open court of law, if you fail to timely move to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and honor your oath of office, you are subject to the charge of capital felony treason. And upon conviction, you will be taken by the posse to the nearest busy intersection and at high noon hung by the neck until dead, the body to remain in state till dusk as an example to anyone who takes his oath of office lightly. Now, this was shared to Chappie's Facebook page, and basically it says that the judges who decided the Hammonds case, and remember the Hammonds from last night? Yeah, the sandpaper. Mm-hmm. The Hammonds there, the judges who judged them should be hanged. Of course, I don't think 18 U.S.C. says, 2381 says anything, no. Chappie then said, Ninth Circuit. Oh, you mean the one most overturned by the Supreme Court? Setting preventative brush fires on your own land is not arson. Good grief. Haven't you ever heard of property rights? They have a right to peacefully protest. I will disagree with them if they turn violent, but not until then. So they're free to, and I'd say when you take over a federal building with a whole bunch of fire and you've got a whole bunch of firepower and you're threatened to shoot at people, I'd say you've already turned violent at that point. Mm-hmm. So that man of God would support the hanging of various and sundry federal judges, yes. And then, of course, yesterday we were talking, and that's a good question. That's good. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, asking, when did these homeschoolers become constitutional scholars? Never. Can't even spell constitutional. They always spell it with three K's at the beginning. Well, yeah, but they're easily confused. I mean, when Lewis and Clark crossed the country and bombed Pearl Harbor in 1805, oh God! But I've got a lovely little 1 minute and 9 second clip here. Remember our buddy Rick Wiles? He's a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian. He's the one who took his dog out for a walk before Halloween, and the dog went crazy, barking at the blow-up spider. And Gator was the dog's name. Even Gator knew that blow-up spider was full of Halloween demons. Demons in the airplane, demons in the women's buttholes, and demons in the blow-up spiders. And damn, ain't there nowhere that ain't full of demons? That's the point! It is a demon-haunted world out here. There's probably demons in me. Son of a God. Well, that explains that, I guess, yeah. Rick Wiles is real upset about the fact that one, the Kenyan Muslim usurper in our White House, dared to shed a tear yesterday out of children who were so badly shot up that they had to be identified by the clothing they were wearing and not by their little shot up faces. And that one in our White House, he cried about that. And so Rick Wiles had to bring on Larry Pratt from Gun Goobers of America. We've come to an agreement that the hockey puck is sort of an unwritten rule for Moran Monday and prayer meeting Wednesday, haven't we? Well, just the same, consider yourself warned.
The big story in America, however, is that the Führer, His Royal Majesty King Barry Obama I, signed executive orders today.
Not so fast, Gerald. He didn't say Adolf Hitler. Oh, damn it! 6:56. I don't know how Gerald goads me into this stuff, but no, really, he, the Führer, His Royal Majesty King Barry Obama. Let's hear that again.
A story in America, however, is that the Führer, His Royal Majesty King Barry Obama I, signed executive orders today expanding federal gun control laws without the approval by the elected U.S. Congress.
Stupid is strong with this one. That's the whole reason it's an executive order there, Rick. Hey, look, a blow-up spider. Somebody tell Gator. They're executive orders because they don't have to, they don't require congressional approval. Because, see, the president is the executive, and that means he's the head of all the administrative agencies in addition to being commander-in-chief of the armed forces in time of war. Yeah. So he doesn't have to go and ask a bunch of... He doesn't have to ask Steve Cantaloupe's King. He doesn't have to ask Louis Asparagus Gohmert if he can pretty please say that all police... And this was a pretty smart thing to do. All federal law enforcement must now carry firearms that are so-called safe guns that only that officer can fire because the technology exists. And this is going to enhance the usage of the technology, which means that it will go out onto out into the open market. Because if you were listening to Dr. Bill earlier today, he was talking about some of this, a fascinating article that Dr. John had provided both Bill and me earlier a couple of weeks back, and. That it points out the fact that the common use doctrine, which was used by the Supreme Court of the United States in the Heller decision, means that whatever comes into the stream of commerce in common use is apparently an okay okie dokie weapon, according to Uncle Nino Scalia and his body servant Slappy Thomas. Mm-hmm. So that'll make it, and you know, President Obama said something. He said, you know, if we can fix it where a child can't be able to open a bottle of aspirin, why shouldn't we fix it where a child can't fire a gun? And bless his heart, I'm proud of him because he was echoing something that I've been saying. If it's absolutely impossible to do anything about the mass shootings, can we try to cut down on the number of accidental ones? The negligent horrors that wind up happening when, say, 5-year-old baby Bubby shoots 2-year-old baby Sissy with his cricket 22 rifle that daddy done got him so he could defend the Second Amendment. But he didn't, and how many, I don't know how many people listen to this goob. He lives in a nice neighborhood where people have blow up spiders, and he's got a golden retriever or something named Gator that barks at said spider. Of course, Gator probably barks at individual molecules, and well, frankly, I feel sorry for Gator just living with the Wiles family at all. Be gone, foul demon of shedding and hip dysplasia. I command thee. Say bebe. Oof. And even if the Congress wants to do something about an executive order, the Congress still has to do something. And this Congress is incapable of doing much of anything. Except sitting around bitching about that one, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, in their White House. Right. I like the idea of the, well, but anyway, he done acted with, done did them executive orders that no president never done because no other presidents was Kenyan Muslim usurpers.
Barry was so overjoyed that he broke down and cried today at his press conference. Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt is on the telephone to tell us what our dictator did today in Washington. Larry, why do you think Barry cried?
If he's a dictator, he's not a very good one. Because if you were a dictator, wouldn't you just kind of round up Rick Wiles and Gator and Mrs. Wiles and send them off to the FEMA re-education camp in the basement of that abandoned Walmart out in the west part of Texas? Wouldn't you do that pretty? And wouldn't you send Larry Pratt of Gun Goobers of America along too? And most everybody on Fox, except Shepard Smith, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't you? Because I mean, we can play that game. Let's play a game of if I were a dictator, who would I ship to the FEMA re-education camp? And maybe in his spare time, Barack Obama plays that too, but he ain't a dictator, except in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of people like Rick Wiles and Larry Pratt of Gun Goobers of America and pass in among them for brains. Tell us about it, Larry.
To tell you the truth, Rick, I am surprised to learn that tears were spotted coming from his eyes, because if there ever were a cold fish on 2 feet, he is the one. I am just amazed. But then maybe he found a way to make it happen.
I think he cried because he's so happy that the civil war he's wanted to start for 7 years is ready to happen. I think that's why he's crying.
Well, if he were to push some of the things that he's done, that indeed could happen.
Indeed, it could. It could. You go first, because that'll be treason, Gun Goober of America, Larry Pratt. That'll be treason. And hopefully we'll get our hands on you. And we won't fool with any FEMA re-education camps. We'll just go straight for Leavenworth. How about? Backing up to Theodore. No, don't back. Don't ever back up to Theodore Chabot. Going back to Theodore Chabot, a note from Robert in Australia, Bob Crikey, another Christian obsessed with the anus. And, of course, once you attack Christianity, it's such a pathetic and weak belief system, it just all falls apart. Well, that's one of the fun things about Christianity. It all falls apart without even being attacked. I mean, all you got to do is say virgin birth, and, well, it's over. And before you know it, you're so lazy you can't be bothered to get up from the couch to get a snack, so you just eat your own foot. And again I ask, people believe this con man? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you look him up on the YouTube, you'll see that he's not exactly skin and bones and withering away to nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yes, because Marty is very observant, he notes, did someone in that story from Klingenschmidt insinuate that the Hammonds set a fire on their own land? That arson fire was set on federal land. Unless Chappie's trying to say, oh, never mind. Yeah, see, you get to oh, never mind in a real, real hurry there. It just goes on and on and on. And by the way, just in case you were wondering, Ammon, son of Bundy, went on the Liberty Roundtable program. I guess there's cell service out there. Why? Don't know. I guess we don't have any jammers or anything, do we? We haven't had any clips. Haven't had any clips from Ammon Bundy, so I thought you might be interested in hearing what a real, live, honest-to-God Mormon Dominionist sounds like. Here's over there on the Liberty Roundtable. Here's Ammon Bundy explaining to you why it is that they attacked a federal building. Well, you know, bird sanctuary building.
And what people need to understand is the Constitution lays out and codifies our rights. In other words, lays out a template for us all to understand and unify around. It creates checks and balances for solutions and to make sure government doesn't...
Hey, here's another William homeschooler explaining the Constitution to us. You know, the one that they start spelling K-K-K-O-N, not K-K-K-A-W-N. Right. But let's continue.
Get too powerful. But our rights, our God-given unalienable rights to land, even existed before the Constitution, right?
What? Our God-given unalienable rights to land. Where is that? That God-given unalienable right to land. Because, see, the people that they came to this continent and stole the land from didn't believe you could own the land. You could live on it, and if you treated it right, it would treat you right. But you couldn't own it. That's why some of them, when the white folks, can we buy your land? Oh, absolutely, sure. What you got? How much you got, really? And where are those cities of gold? Oh, well, you know, it's a long way from here. Been there. It's beautiful. It is. It's a city of gold. But it's a long way away. And if you start now, you might get there before the snows come. So you better leave. We'll get you. We'll make you some peanut butter sandwiches. But you got to get going right now. God-given right, unalienable God-given right to land. Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we read in Genesis where God gave the earth to man. He did not give it to government. He gave.
Yeah, Ammon, that's because there wasn't no government back then. Now, it's kind of hard to have a government when there ain't nobody but Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Then whoever it is that they married, never mind. That's the very first biblical conundrum now, isn't it?
But to man to care and to cultivate, and that means to take care of it and to use it, and that is necessary, and that is what the Lord has done, and so we have a situation here where government is saying, no, it's ours, and with your money, we're going to keep buying it and pushing and taking, and then
let me tell you a little something about the Negro. No, he didn't. No, he hasn't gotten there yet. The delirium caused by overconsumption of dry ramen hasn't quite gotten him there.
with regulations that we make, we're going to ruin you, so you have to sell it. And then the people have never given that authority in the first place. And so we had to make a very solemn decision here. Say, look, here, this is where we're at. We know we cannot allow what happened to the Hammonds to happen to other people. We understand that. We can't let this case become a precedent.
It wasn't a precedent in the first place. That's the problem. And what happened to the Hammonds happened because they set fire to federal lands and Pertnier got a firefighter killed. And, of course, there was that whole poaching problem, too. Yeah, here, son, here's a box of matches. You just start striking them and dropping them till you get to that ridge up there. We're going to set this whole country on fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't let it come to precedent. But see, that's the problem. Where Ammon runs into trouble is the fact that the government is a violating of the scriptures. Hallelujah, glory. Hey.
And what people need to understand is the Constitution lays out and codifies our rights. In other words, lays out a template for us all to understand and unify around. It creates checks and balances for solutions and to make sure government doesn't get too powerful. But our rights, our God-given unalienable rights to land, even existed before the Constitution, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we read in Genesis where God gave the earth to man. He did not give it to government. He gave it to man to care and to cultivate.
I promise you this is not the same clip that I played for you a minute ago. It just sounds exactly like it because that's what life with Ammon Bundy is like. He just talks in circles and seldom, if ever, makes any sense at all.
And that means to take care of it and to use it. And that is necessary, and that is what the Lord has done. And so we have a situation here where government is saying, no, it's ours. And with your money, we're going to keep buying it and pushing and taking. And then with regulations that we make, we're going to ruin you, so you have to sell it. And then the people have never given that authority in the first place. And so we had to make a very solemn decision here. Say, look, here, this is where we're at. We know we cannot allow what happened to the Hammonds to happen to other people. We understand that. We can't let this case become a precedent. So we know we have to do something, no matter what. Or it's going to be our children and our homes and all of that.
Yeah. Actually, I think that was the same clip. This isn't, though. he's talking straight. General Bundy now is talking strategy and tactics.
Everything that we eat, everything we wear, we live in, our homes, our cars, our vehicles, the phones we're talking on, everything came from the land and the resources. All wealth is generated from the land and resources, and ultimate power is basically by virtue is those that control the land and the resources. And so if you have the land and the resources...
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
Just all in one central place.
Tell me about your homeworld, Usel.
Then you have all the power, the wealth, and everything all in one central place. And our founders, you know, adamantly said that is the most dangerous thing that could happen. To have all the wealth, all the power, all in one central place. The safe place for the land and the resources is distributed throughout the people so that wealth and power and that it can be distributed among the people. And we know that's scriptural because the Lord said he gives us the land to man to cultivate and to care for. And so those are some, you know, principles, some foundations to what we're doing here.
Scriptural foundations. in the scriptures that exist, I guess, in the what passes for a mind? But this is the guy who inspired a seditious takeover of a bird sanctuary. You know, and when you say that bird sanctuary, it almost sounds too silly to even fool with, which may be what, but I don't think it is. I think it's dangerous. I think when you don't cart these bastards away and put them in prison for a very, very, very long time, like 20 years under the sedition statute, yeah, I think you just kind of encourage it to happen again and again and again and again and again. Or maybe, like Timothy McVeigh, they're just going to do it it'll happen again no matter what, because that's where this empire is now. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. But let me see if I can put together one of those higher math kind of symbologic. Stupid plus guns equals dangerous. How about that? Dumb plus firearms, ignorant. Dumb, stupid, paren, ignorance plus firearms minus snacks equals trouble. Yeah?
Seems to me, Ammon, that we've got two things to do. We've got to unwind what's happening. We've got to empower citizenry. It's going to be done, one, by giving them hope, first of all. And two, it's going to be done by this educational campaign, understanding what's really happened. I mean, when it happens slowly, day in and day out, by this encroaching government, you know what, 10, 20, 30 years later, you know you're not as free, but you don't know how and why exactly. This kind of creates a fast-forward button to watch the videos of abuse and, I don't know what you'd call it, fast, summarized succession.
Not free? We're going to need some definitional help here. I mean, 30 years later, you're not free. Well, you know what? In 1908, the farmers who, well, they'd been encroaching on the Northern Paiute Reservation for a while there at Malheur. Bad times. Is that it in French? Bad times? Bad time? And the farmers sold that to the jackbooted tyrannical federal government, and were apparently pretty happy to sell it, got good money for it, went off and ranched somewhere else. Gary Laborman out in New Mexico says, "Wealth all in one place? How about Wall Street, Jagoff?" Well, there is that, isn't there? Ron and Raleigh, subject line, odd. Doesn't Ammon sound like Uncle Ben Carson? Weird. Well, that's what religious fundamentalism does to your brain. It sort of infantilizes it. Oh, my God. Can you imagine 3 hours of radio every night sounding like this? But he has to come off all sort of infantilized, because he's got a shitload of guns. And so naturally, he doesn't want to come, "Yeah, bring it on! We listened to Gordon Liddy when he said you got to aim for the head." Yeah. Do continue, Ammon.
Succession to where you can really kind of understand, I cannot believe this has been done to us, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that is why we came in here and did what we did, the way we did it, because there needed to be a little bit of a shock and awe. And you have to remove the chains of tyranny and the chains of oppression so that the people can regain a hope. And they'll be like, hey, there's no longer, you know, this bully, this tyrant in control anymore. Now we can start thinking about having a future. Now we can stop being afraid. Now we can stop
This bully, this tyrant. Of course, they never said anything like that about, oh, George W. Bush when he was leading our country into a war based on lies because, well, he was a white guy leading us into a war based on this bully, this tyrant, this thug.
You know, stop whispering and being afraid that if we talk too loud, you know, we're going to lose what we do have. And that's what's been going on.
And what people need to understand.
Everything that we eat, everything we wear.
Yeah, shut up. I think we'll take a little break now. And I want to extend huge, tremendous thanks to Bob in Texas and Brother Deacon Asa and Kelly. Thank you all very, very kindly. Thank you also to Brother Gerald, who contributed his Hitler pool winnings this evening. We finished fundraising for the evening. We're out of the hole, so we've actually got a fighting chance to keep going on the rest of the week, because you know. There are. There's about $1,000 of bills waiting to be paid. Thank you very kindly, one and all. A note coming in from Thomas. Bob, if you back into Theodore, you better be open carrying anal jihad lube now in cherry flavor. Oh, stop it! And meanwhile, from Gerald. What... Going back to our reading from the book of Amos, but what you're missing in the scripture is the implied airplane. And with regard to Theodore Shobot, a question, does blasphemy count if you don't really give a shit about their religion? I'm asking for a friend. Just look at your friend and say, shut up! Because, see, that's the fun thing about blasphemy. You don't have to believe in their stupid religion in order for them to consider you blasphemous, because blasphemy is about their tender fifis getting hurt, not whether you believe. It's basically the claim of, you hurt my feelings, backed up with a little burning at the stake. Meanwhile, in regard to Ammon Bundy, God-given right to land, that must be in the America's Book of Secrets I keep hearing the History Channel talking about. Sure. And afraid? No, I haven't been afraid. Gerald, have you been afraid? No? No, I don't think any of us are afraid. There's still 37 different brands of breakfast cereal on the grocery store shelves, and 19 different brands of toilet paper. Looks like freedom is alive and well in Merca. And from Jennifer down in Australia, is this too cynical? How many of these accidental shootings are murders? The kid just wouldn't stop screaming. I ask because it's astonishing that toddlers are being shot to death in homes without even so much as an investigation. The gun went off. End of discussion. Really? Really? Yes, really. And no, I don't necessarily think it's cynical. I think it's a fair question, Jennifer. But it's also one of those things where you have to, you kind of have to get into the Merkin mindset. And understand that we're okay with guns that just go off. I mean, I've got a story here. I don't have any. I don't have anything to indicate that this is parody or a joke. WYFF in South Carolina stand reporting that an unidentified man from Union, South Carolina, and who knew there was even such a place, named such a place in a place like South Carolina, suffered a gunshot wound recently. Now here's how it works. According to the police report, an officer was called to the residence because of a shooting. When he got there, he found a man lying on the bedroom floor with a gunshot wound to his leg. So he asks the guy where the gun is. And he says, somebody left with it, but I don't know who it was. Okay? Red flag one. So then the officer, the intrepid Columbo, says, well, how'd you get shot in the first place? And he says, well, I was taking a shower, and I got out of the shower, and I sat down in the chair, and Jennifer, this is where your question comes into play, and the gun went off. Because that's how it is when you're defending, when you're out there, you got to be ready to protect freedom, even if you're jumping out of the shower sopping wet. You got to be ready to protect freedom in Merca, because you never know when that Kenyan Muslim usurper is going to come around with his jackbooted tyrannical government and put his tyrannical jackboots down on your freedom-loving neck right next to your Confederate flag tattoo, and that other tattoo says only God can judge me. I was naked as the day I was born. I got out of the shower and I just sat down on my gun. The gun went off. Go figure. Of course, we're not too far removed from the day after Christmas, which was the first anniversary of the nuclear scientist who got Second Amendmented by her two-year-old, who reached into her freedom-protecting pistol purse and pulled out her freedom protector and freedom protect the Second Amendment right through the brains or such, right there in the children's clothing department at Wally World, because she had to have that in case she had to protect freedom somewhere between a busted knuckle and Boise. Really. And it takes lots of personnel hours to do a full blown investigation, and so when you're there in Union, South Carolina, and says I just sat down on it and the gun went off, and I don't know where the gun is. Some feller I didn't even know come along took the gun after I just sat down on it and it went off. You see how it works? I mean, if we actually did a full investigation every time somebody got killed or maimed because the gun just went off, well, that's all we'd spend. That's all our law enforcement would spend their time doing, and they'd never have any time to react to allegations of strong arm robbery by thugs and shoot 18-year-old black men down in the middle of the street and leave them to lay there like a dog for a few hours in the hot August sun. Brother Deacon Asa says, if you think about it, Brother Bob, Bundy Jr. and his goons decked out in their muskets and coonskin hats picked the bird sanctuary for a very primal reason. Dot, dot, dot. They're goddamn bird brains! Brother Deacon Asa, I will thank you to stop insulting the birds. Interesting tweet being provided to me. Coming in from at Oman Reagan, OmanReagan. Anyone who supports Bundy militia should be watching live now as every member of the community asks them to leave. There's apparently a community meeting in Burns. Sheriff Wade describing all the ways people associated with Bundy militia have been harassing local residents.
God damn it, we need juicy juices in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's take a little break. And lines are open. God knows, we got more stuff. But lines are open. Area code 304-574-8178. Area code 304-574-8178 is line one. Line two is the stress line. It works for some people. For some people, it doesn't. Don't know why. Here's a hint. I think I sorted some of this out. If you're trying to use a speakerphone, or if you are trying to use a Bluetooth, you're probably not going to have much luck on the stress line. Yeah, you're not going to have much luck on anybody's lines because it does not translate well into a radio sort of situation. And the usual applies. Please turn your stereos, your radios, your computer speakers, whatever. Please turn them down when you call. Thank you. So also Skype to Skype, of course, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. Thank you very, very kindly. And we will, we'll see what else we got. This comes in courtesy of Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. I do appreciate it. This is the horn. I like that. Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. R-A-T-E-L-I-F-F. That looks like Ratliff, Ratliff, whatever. And Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats, the name of the song is S-O-B. Like it a lot. I'm going to check them out. So it is 25 minutes before the hour. Somehow or another, I filibobstered my way through half of the entire freaking program. Sorry about that. I'm hoping to keep up with the breaking story out of Burns as people beg the no, they're not militia. They are a terrorist group? Thugs? Armed thugs? See, that whole peaceful protest thing goes out the window when you do something with guns. But Ammon Bundy, you got to give him a little something for the effort, though. He's working it for all he's worth. He's out there tweeting and doing right-wing radio shows and what have you. We're not terrorists. I mean, just because we've got a lot of guns and we said we're willing to die and we're willing to kill people, we're not terrorists. Let me tell you a little something about the Negro. No. I do think the government has violence on its mind. And that's why they've taken so long to show up. that made my liver quiver. I'm going to do this without the stupid voice. I do think the government has violence on its mind. That's why they have taken so long to show up. Because they got Dr. Evil down in his evil laboratory. No, it's Oregon. We can't have sharks with frickin' laser beams. Maybe we could have a sandhill crane with a chemical weapon on it, How about a really testy blue heron? Email coming from Jack in Shreveport. All it is a subject line. Southerners will get this. Bless his heart. God love him. He can't help it. I do think the... Well, how in the hell are we supposed to have an insurrection if y'all won't fight back, goddammit? Y'all ain't playing fire. I do think the government has violence on its mind. That's why they've taken so long to show up. I believe they are planning something for us to finally get rid of us once and for all. Well, you know, as Brother Gerald pointed out, there was another tweet that went out from the Bundy camp. Please don't send shrimp-flavored ramen. Ammon is allergic to shellfish. No peanuts either. God damn it, gluten free. Yeah. If they use force against us, we will fight back to defend ourselves. I hope we don't have to do that. I hope this all ends peacefully and the government does the right thing for once. Well, you know, it ends peacefully if you just walk the hell away. I don't even think you'll get indicted, Ammon. You can't have that much supplies to carry out with you. But this is the fun part. Uh, Ammon is trying to find his place in the hysterical firmament. Well, one good turn deserves another, Gerald. Gerald says, I'm laughing my ass off. Gluten-free or die! Maybe that can be the... Hey, I got an idea. Why don't they move out to the state of Jefferson? Ooh, Sparky's cussing me now. But he's trying to find his place in the historical firmament. So in this interview... with some outfit called Jacobin, he said, George Washington is inspiring to me for what he did to help found this country and all the founding fathers by how they took a stand against the British. I don't have any faith in our government anymore. I don't believe they can help at all and will only make things worse for our country in the years to come. Yeah, because, you know, it really sucks when we've got... When we're able to feed the hungry and have roads that aren't mud ruts and right, yeah, fire departments. Well, damn fire department ruined all the Hammond's fun. No, but he's George Washington, Ammon Bundy is. He's George Washington who deputized and oath swore federal troops to go and put down the Whiskey Rebellion, Shays Rebellion and whatnot. When people like Ammon Bundy decided to take up arms against the new United States government. And then he took to the Twitters to declare that he is just like Rosa Parks. No, really. He is just like Rosa Parks. Carol Baker pointing out, yeah, they're planning on freezing your balls off, Ammon. That's the dastardly federal plot to kill you. Because you don't have sense enough to come in out of the rain. Dumb bastard like Ammon Bundy could drown in a gentle spring shower just with his with his head up and his mouth open. Jennifer says, yeah, I guess living in Australia has changed my mindset, but I don't remember growing up in Boston with our infamous racial tensions ever being this bad, Bob. I'm pretty sure deaths by gunshot in homes, particularly of children, were crimes. Well, I guess air pollution's now riddled with stray bullets with no investigation. I don't know. When did the gradual acceptance evolve into collective paralysis? This is terrorism. Trayvon, Tamir, this is terror. I mean, I'm frightened, and I don't currently even live there. Your on-air gunshot scare really affected me. It didn't do me any good either, and Agnes wasn't particularly happy, and the first thing both of us did was we went to run to make sure if Ferg was okay. And he, meanwhile, was going, y'all okay? And it continued, and there's nothing to be done about it, because freedom. Greg in Talibandiana sent me a story about how they're correcting some injustice out in Talibandiana because some right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual legislators have introduced a bill that would allow people convicted of multiple DUIs. That they'd be able to go and carry guns, and they're also also introducing a bill that allowed anybody to carry a gun anywhere in Talibandiana. We're going to have that one when the legislature gets busy here a little bit later this month in West Virginia too. So yeah, Jennifer, I get it. You're scared. I'm scared. Jennifer says, "I'm starting to realize that I may never be able to come home because my home is gone." And that is sobering. And that is sobering because it is true. This is no safe place. And I sit here thinking about trying to find, just to see what would happen, maybe, if I could apply for asylum somewhere as a refugee from the United States, because nothing here is safe. Because nowhere in this country are you safe from the gun freaks and the gun fiends and the pasty-faced, doughy, paranoid white people who invade bird sanctuaries. Yeah. The meeting is still going on out in Burns. The sovereign citizens have come wandering along. Some guy named Mitch Singer reading a manifesto. Michael Oman Reagan says he's saying what you'll hear across eastern Oregon about logging an endangered species. And one of the rancher types. Remember, the common clay of the New West. You know, morons. Says standoff gives Harney County the biggest audience to get their message out. Crowd cheers. Mitch Singer, local resident, says he's uneasy about Bundy, but appreciates their message, doesn't think it's realistic to return federal land. One local recommends that the sheriff go out and meet with the militants. Another one backs the militants. Militants, my ass. Bugs. Texas Betsy pointing out there's an African-American man applying for refugee status in Canada due to racial profiling from police. Yeah, I get a feeling if I applied for refugee status somewhere, they'd just tell me, suck it up, buttercup, buy a gun. Wait, Carol, who was a prankster with a fake Twitter account? Rosa Parks, was that fake? Damn. Okay, shame on me. It was believable, you know? The Angry Indian tells me there's even an American Traitor support page on Facebook for the Oregon Under Attack terrorists. Oh, my God. Okay. Ammon Bundy doesn't have a Twitter account. I got it now. Thank you, Todd. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Ammon hasn't figured out how the tweets work yet. The Rosa Parks tweets were from a spoofed account. Damn. It was believable. Ron and Raleigh, how about this? Hey, Bob, can we send a C-130 with snacks to pick these goobers up and take them to the Middle East to fight the true enemies of the USA, you know, ISIS? Oh, no. They don't have that kind of courage. Sorry, no. Yeah, there's the word. Thank you, Carol. Terrorists. Oh, dear God. Sparky just sent me a picture. Yuck. State of Jefferson Firearms Training, www.packyourpistol.com, Red Bluff, California. State of Jefferson Firearms Training, with, of course, the urine-colored snake flag emblem and crossed AR-15s and the Don't Tread on Me. So to recap, Ammon Bundy does not have a Twitter account, but he does have a severe shellfish allergy and cannot tolerate gluten. Oh, well, I'm in good company. The Washington Post fell for it, too. Good. Thomas says, Bob, don't you think, if I use that term loosely, the poor Ammon Bundy would have his magic undies to be able to protect him from King Barry, Fuhrer Kingberry. That's Fuhrer Kingberry, Thomas. King Barry's jackbooted thugs come a-knocking. I don't know if he's allowed to have his magic underwear. I mean, they're kind of a they're kind of one of them radical sects. Or so, I don't know. Let's run over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, Bob? Carl from Massachusetts.
Oh, hey, Carl. How are you?
Pretty good. I talked to you quite two or three times before.
Yes.
But basically, when the Clive and Bundy thing happened at his ranch, I think the best thing the government could have done was taken an M60 tank. I don't know if you know what that is. It's just a big old tank.
Yes. The fact that it's got numbers in front of the word tank gives me a pretty good idea.
Anyways, they're old. They're from the 60s and the 70s, but I don't even know if they're still being used, but they're just a big old tank. There's still some of them that are running around. Take the gun off the front, and they should have just went up to Bundy's ranch and just crushed all of their vehicles. And just run over all their trucks, let them shoot at the tank all they want, because they would not do anything to that tank. And just run over all their vehicles and say, bye, walk. And I think they should do similar things to these gunmetalists in Oregon. I think they should take some, wait till it's a little bit warm, and take some, the firefighting tankers, planes.
Yeah, I get it.
And just fill them up with water, and just douse the whole place with water. Let it freeze. And then send up the drones to record all of them slip sliding away and just falling down on the tape and everything else. And then take a tank and run over their vehicles and have a big, the Pac-Man on the side of the tank.
You've put some thought into this.
Oh, yes. I am a very, I drive about 3 to 4 hours a day in my car to get to work. I put a lot of thought into this.
You could just send a jet over with it to put a couple of chemtrails over top of them, and they'd probably have a hissy over that. Then we've got the plan to send a drone in just to sort of hover around and look at that'd scare them water bowled. And by now the ramen ought to be kicking in. And I don't know, maybe for all we know, Ammon with his shellfish allergy is probably already scratching a little bit.
Yeah, or this would be something that any listener could do. Send meatloaf or, some other American food or, frozen so they could cook it or, something they could cook in an open fire. But if anybody's an avid old High Times reader, you could put infused oil in any kind of food you could ever think of. Meatloaf, pot roast. I mean, you could put it in gum. You could put it in anything, and just send them a few loads of that. Let them get really stoned, and then record all that them walking around, especially the guy with the fucked up face. Excuse the language.
Well, no, I get it. I mean, you got me thinking now, Carl. These are your real upstanding Western Americans. What if we just got some. A few of those meat smokers that like the caterers pull along behind their trucks, and out of weapons fire range, just set up a big old barbecue.
Yeah, let
let the hickory smoke waft over to them.
Oh, hey, here's something for anybody out there who has a. And they're doing any geldings, or I don't know what you call it for cows when you take the testicles off.
That would be a steer.
Send them some ball some bull testicles. I'm sure they would know what those are. They need a set of balls because I didn't actually send them some cow brains. Because anybody goes out in the woods and I was in the Army and I was a Boy Scout. Anybody goes out in the woods and doesn't bring a change of underwear and socks, there's something wrong with them. There really is. I bet you they don't even have a way to wash their socks or even boil water. They just sound like the most incompetent boobs.
Well, but you know, apparently there was some planning at some point in time.
Yeah, but
somewhere between forgetting.
They got a guy in the army there. They got a guy who supposedly was a Ranger. Isn't he up there?
Yeah, but he wasn't. I mean, and he was supposedly a sniper, but he wasn't. And they got John Ritzheimer, who claims to have gotten an honorable discharge from the Marines, but was thrown out of the Marines. How do you get thrown out of the Marines over tattoos?
I don't know. Maybe if you put one in your face. They do have regulations on where you can put your tattoos. But if they tell you don't get a tattoo that covers your face or your hands, you don't get it. Or else they toss you out.
But so they got him. Maybe it was. Okay. Texas Betsy says might have been racist tattoos, Nazi tattoos.
Ooh, that could be. Yeah,
you know what? The Marine Corps might frown on that.
Yes. When I was in, just before I got out, the Marines started coming out. You couldn't say white or black to describe a person. You had to say light green or dark green. I don't know. I don't think it actually stayed. I think it was just something they were trying out because I never heard anybody else out of the Marines describe anybody like that. That was in late 90, I believe. But that's, you know, the Army and the Navy, especially with prejudice shit, they're usually the first ones out because there's so many different types of people you can find in the Marines and the Army. You know, from college educated to not educated. Because, you know, you have people who are going to have to go stomping around in the woods and the desert and everything else. A lot of times they don't care who they take.
So, I really think there are ways to be creative about this. But I was going to tell you, they did say that, well, if the jackbooted tyrannical government uses their tyrannical jackboots to cut off our power, we're ready for that. So I don't know if they got some batteries or a couple of generators and some gasoline or, you know what? Maybe they could start their generator up inside the building and asphyxiate themselves.
Oh, one could only hope. And one could.
I mean,
it sounds like it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty Wile E. Coyote of them.
Yes. You just come in and it'd be like those kids that committed suicide with their sneakers the comet.
Yeah, they were catching a ride on a starship that was tucked away hidden behind the comet.
Yeah, maybe they'll go in 2 weeks and go, hey, everybody's dead.
And some of them even went so far as to go and get themselves castrated beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's special.
Yeah, so they could be eunuchs, I guess. Well, these guys might be eunuchs just from birth. Maybe that'd be a good, really good thing. Just send them a lot of testicles from dogs or something like that. And if you're a fag, I'm sure you could get testicles from a dog. You know, if you work in a veterinary office, maybe they'll get testicles somewhere. Cat testicles, dog testicles, just send them in the mail. No.
And that's not even illegal.
No, probably not. You could send animal feces in the mail. So
Carol just told me, yeah, your tats have to be covered, apparently. Covered by your uniform. The tats have to be covered by your uniform. But I wonder if even if you've got like a big old swastika in the middle of your back, or something, you know, something like that. I wonder if even if it's covered by your uniform, that might give the Marines pause.
If it's racist, because when I was stationed in Fort Eustis, Virginia, and about a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years after I got there, they put out a rule that nobody could fly any flags at all, no American flag, no nothing in there. Because people were putting them up on their walls of their, you know, in the barracks, you know, like dorms. and they have three big windows that faced either side. One room had three big windows. They were usually 11 by 12, and two people were sleeping in them, two people per room. And you had a door and everything. It wasn't bad. But a lot of people were flying their state flags, but even more, we've seen rebel flags all over the place.
That's the American swastika.
Yes, it is. I mean, even the Australians and the Germans know that. And so they put out a rule: no flags at all, nothing. No American flag. No
urine-colored snake flag.
Yeah, they used to have those, but they were back in the 90s. They weren't 80s and 90s. They weren't looked at as, you know, it wasn't a T-Bay flag. Oh, that's the other thing. You know, the tea bag, the don't tread on me that they put on the back of their trucks and everything, the little stickers. Yes, you could get it's called a paint stick. It's liquid. It's like a marker, but it's got a ball in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them from anybody who's been anywhere near a welding supply store. They sell them there. They're yellow. They're almost identical. And when you're in a park, and when you're walking in a parking lot and you see one of those pit flags, you just go out with it. You go back to your car, get your little marker, and just wipe up the tea and the tread.
Don't read on me. Yeah. The best take I've seen on the snake urine colored snake flag lately, though, is the one that where the "Don't Tread on Me" has just been erased, and it just says "Please send snacks."
Yes, I've seen that one. I've seen that one all over the web today. I saw a guy.
And see, ridicule is a very powerful tool, because you know these freaks are they're so earnest and so serious about how the tyrannical jackbooted government is putting their tyrannical jackboots down on our freedom loving necks. And when you just make fun of them and you don't accord them the courtesy of seriousness, it just crawls all over them like a dose of salts.
Yes. I see one guy. Now, I do things for bridges. I basically do the foundation for bridges and buildings. Very, really big stuff. And I operate equipment. But I see this one guy from the Mass DOT. These are the guys who go, they have the snow plows, and they, you know, if there's a big storm, they oversee the snow plowing and everything and check everything and blah, blah, blah. And they have state inspectors who are Mass DOT. And I see outside of Boston, I see this one truck every once in a while, and I followed him into a rest stop, but he wouldn't get out of the truck, and I got to film him, or I have to take some pictures of this truck, because it's a Mass DOT truck. All the money comes from the government, and he has a teabag flag in the back of the truck, among, you know, and all their anti-government stuff. And it's just like, I want to interview him. I just want to have a hidden camera and say, you know where you get your money? You know, and he's a state employee. And he's anti-government. And I just want to ask him, you know, do you know where your paycheck comes from? You know, that's very, you know, what would you do without your paycheck coming from the, you know, if we get rid of the government, where? You know, do you have kids? Do they eat? You know, and I just see that shit. And so I work with teabaggers. We work federal and state jobs all the time, on the road, on highways, on bridges, on buildings, you know, public buildings, and you just freight, you know, Amtrak. Right now I'm working at doing an Amtrak expansion, well, railroad, but, you know, state, there's still state and federal money coming in there, I'm pretty sure. And I work with people who are just talking about this, you know, idiot down in Oregon. Wow. You know, the state just, you know, takes everything away. And this is coming from a hunter, a guy who loves the woods, loves going hunting. And I'm like, it's a bird sanctuary. They burnt it down. Well, the government's always taking things away, blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute. Your house is a adjacent to a state park, and you always tell me how nice it is to walk into the state park and you tell me the government's taking everything away. And I just can't. And this guy isn't stupid. I'm just like, dude. It's hard to get into an argument. That's like,
well, but you know, the
I can't understand it.
The substratus of this, you know, about the government and government lands, we got a taste of that here in West Virginia, Carl, because there's a lovely place near, I mean, right by Charleston, the state capital, called Kanawha State Forest. And it's lovely.
Yes, I've been through there. I've been.
Yeah, there's trails and biking and nature watching and things like that. Well, that wasn't good enough for the coal company. The coal company started blasting away, doing mountaintop removal next to it.
And, oh, now the view. Oh.
Yeah, so you know, effectively ruining the state park. And, of course, yeah. Here where I live, they've done mountaintop removal within 2 miles of a state park and within 6 miles of a national park. See, it's not just these goober Western Mormon fundamentalist types. It's also a topic or a position that exists within the anti-American, anti-government, anti-constitution right wing. And you know they're anti-constitution because they so loudly profess to be in favor of the Constitution, but they don't understand any part of it. But
except for half of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, exactly.
If you count the syllables, the numbers in the the amount of words, the numbers in the words, it's exactly half. If you split the two halves up, I have a Constitution always in my lunchbox, in my lunch bag, and if you split it down the middle. Then you count the letters. I'm pretty sure it's letters, syllables, and the amount of words, including A as a word. It's split right fucking down the goddamn middle.
And the only part they care about is the last part.
The last part. I was just in this state. It's getting now. People tell me that they're getting an concealed carry permit. They don't know what they're talking about. But I've had two women and their husbands argue with me over the holidays why they're getting a weapon. One of them, her husband is I know he's bipolar. The shit he does, he's bipolar. But it's all right for him to get a gun because, you know, his father was a cop. But sometimes it wasn't his father was a cop. His mother was answering the phone at a police station. And it's just the other guy, his wife should be a liberal. But she watches too much Fox News. He works for the post office. He's a mechanic in the post office. And both of these women were telling me, well, I know how to shoot a pistol. I shot a pistol 4 years competitive in the Army. Not forced all year round, but it was like one year, two, three months here, you know, but for 4 years. I'm good with a gun. And to have a woman tell me, I can shoot a weapon, I can shoot a gun. Well, how would you shoot? I went through the six or eight hour course, whatever it is, in the state of Massachusetts. And I was at the range, and they let me shoot a few rounds out of this gun. Well, how many did you shoot? Well, 4 or 5 out of each gun. And you have a pistol permit?
Rounds or clips? I mean,
rounds. And she said, both of them say that pretty much verbatim the same thing.
Oh, well,
I should have to fire? And I said, thousands? And they both know my experience with weapons, so they had no real recourse to jump on me on. And I'm like, really? Thousands? Not 4 here, 5 here, a couple here. But
yeah, and you got it. And you got to go do it every couple of weeks.
Yes. And when I tell them this, and I work with a lot of guys that I work with have semi-automatic you know, AR-15 bullshit ones. I only know the older military weapons when I was in. I haven't shot since I was in. And it really pisses these guys off who have handguns and AR-16s and this and that when I tell them, I can outshoot you with a pistol. And because I've been trained by people in the President's Hundred. And that's a very, very...
No, I know what that is. It's pretty exclusive.
I was trained by... We always had somebody from the Army in the who was in the President's Hundred, and they were there almost every day we fired. So I have a lot of on-and-on training with very, very, very specialized people, and I tell these people, you know, I need a gun. I should have a gun. I could have a gun. I don't have a gun. I have a slingshot. That's what I used to train with on off months and stuff to keep my eyes, you know, being able to focus, you know, just for off season.
Hey, it was good enough for David.
But, yeah, they weren't. Well, that's a different kind of slingshot.
Yeah, I know.
That was one of the ones.
It wasn't a couple of rubber bands and a forked stick. It was a sling. The Romans used slingers from. The Balearic Isles. They used slingers to great effect in the legions. In fact, at some excavations, they have found little manufactured stones that the slingers used with mottos on them, like "Here is one for your nose."
And they probably could hit their nose.
Yeah. Very, very effective. Well, Carl, it's awful good to hear from you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the expertise, and maybe Agent Fred listens every night, so maybe they'll take some of your suggestions to heart.
Yeah. Well, if I'm ever next time I'm in West Virginia, I'll have to look you up.
I hope you do. I hope you do. You take care.
Have a nice night.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Calling from Massachusetts. That's Carl. With a lot of good suggestions. And I just got a note from Michael in Madison. I researched this while talking with Carl. There is a hashtag out there you're going to want to check out. I have a feeling, do you already know about this, Carol Baker? I don't know. Hashtag Bundy Erotic Fanfic. Short for Bundy Erotic Fanfiction. Mm-hmm. Apparently it was started by a member of the band The Decemberists, who is having a high old time. They huddled together for warmth, the cold of Ammon's Ruger 22 against Brian's naked thighs sent a thrill up his spine. Hashtag Bundy Erotic Fanfic. Jason pressed Jed against a rack of Birds of Oregon books. His breath was sweet with jerky. Somewhere an egret cried. "It ain't snacks I'm hungry for, Trevor." Ryan's heart was beating wildly beneath the quilted flannel of his shirt. He was torn, on the one hand being gay as a sin, on the other hand was Ammon's soft buttock. All thoughts of tactical bacon were, for the moment, set aside. "Don't cry, Ammon. They did this at Valley Forge. For warmth and for freedom." Zeke had fired some big guns before, but this would be his first true magnum. All these courtesy of @ColinMalloy, ColinMelloy. With his hand on Ryan's chest, he felt the passion beneath his pocket-sized copy of the U.S. Constitution. "I have a right to bear arms," cooed Jebediah as he slowly removed Zeke's shoulder holster. He had always admired his brother's pump action with the tactical grip and the smaller butt. "Oh my, you fellers sure put the men in amendment." Cletus's... See, this is why I thought maybe Carol had already seen it. Cletus's hands guided him to the right spot. "Squeeze the trigger. Don't pull it," he whispered.
They spooned on the camo sleeping bag. Zeke playfully tousled Ted's hair while he read aloud from the field guide. Bittern, chucker, whimbrel, black-capped chickadee, their bushmasters lay by their side in the veiled moonlight. Meanwhile, back out in Burns, lots of tweets. Local says it's a nation of laws and ranchers should get to graze for free. People are heckling him. When they came for the loggers, I didn't say nothing, echoing Martin Niemöller's first they came statement. Oh, they are a persecuted lot, these little welfare rancher babies. Wait, I think I can get to it. We may have actual audio. We may have actual audio from the meeting in Burns. Mm-hmm.
To stay or up and quit. There's no avoiding this conclusion. Our town is turning into shit.
Be seated. Now I don't have to tell you, good folks, what has been happening here in our beloved little town. Sheriff murdered, crops burned, stores looted, people stampeded, and cattle raped. Now the time has come to act, and act fast. I'm leaving.
Hey, you get back here, you pass. Can I say to winter, there's no way that nobody is going to leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and dadgummit, I'm going to die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker is going to revel my precious cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
Rabbit!
I think we're all indebted to Gabby Johnson for clearly stating what needed to be said. I'm particularly glad that these lovely children are here today to hear that speech. Not only was it authentic frontier gibberish, it expressed a courage little seen in this day and age. What are we made of? Our fathers came across the prairie, fought Indians, fought drought, fought locusts, fought Dix. Remember when Richard Dix came in here and tried to take over this town? Well, we didn't give up then. And by gum, we're not going to give up now.
Rubber. Damn straight. Authentic frontier gibberish. You know, sometimes even on prayer meeting Wednesday, we have a bit of an overlap. Now, for instance, I got Judge Roy Moore here. Judge Roy Moore of Talabama. And I got a decision to make, and it's an executive decision, and the question is, is he prayer meeting Wednesday, or is he thorn in the side Thursday? My inclination is to think that he's thorn in the side Thursday because he's more government than religion, even though he can't tell the difference between the two. But really, more government than religion. So we've got a little something. We know we've got a little something something to look forward to for tomorrow. But we always have something to look forward to on Thorn in the Side Thursday. And of course, Judge Roy Moore is all bent out of shape about the Homer Sectionals getting married and traditional family values merge. Oh, thank you, Gerald. Thank you very kindly. I knew exactly what clip you were going to play as soon as it started. Excellent choice. Well, authentic frontier gibberish. If that isn't the very definition of Cliven, let me tell you a little something about the Negro Bundy and his bizarre, twisted anti-American sons. I don't know what is. Rubber. Meanwhile, the angry Indian tells me that the spoiled rotten babies of the Oregon under attack, they've had themselves a press conference. They walked out into the parking lot of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge God, I hate it when the pop-up comes up and you can't figure out how to make it go away. Sons of bitches. There we go. And what was the first thing they did? They started pissing and moaning about Black Lives Matter? Yes.
The Black Lives Matter movement, they can go and protest, close down freeways down and all that stuff, and they don't get any backlash, not on the level that we're getting.
When they asked the man what name they should give in citing the quote, he said, Fluffy Unicorn! No, really, that's what he said, Fluffy Unicorn.
Their level of protesting is different. We're not obstructing SCOOs.
Well, I meant to bring that part up. You remember a couple of weeks ago when the ignorant, dead from the neck up, teabagging, religious, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christ-centered, Bible-believing freak managed to shut down every school in Augusta County, Virginia? Well, guess what? There's not a single child going to school in Harney County, Oregon this week. And yes, they're back in session after the Christmas break. These rotten, seditious, miserable, POS, ignorant, dumbass, stupid, moronic, have managed to close down the schools in all of Harney County, Oregon. So these freedom-loving fundamentalists, these Second Amendment patriots, these constitutionalists, are actually stealing from the children of Harney County, Oregon, because the children can't go to school to learn. And by the way, with one in four children in this country hungry, there's probably children in Harney County who aren't getting a decent meal this week because these dumbasses think somebody should have the right to start fires on federal land to cover up their goddamn poaching.
Yeah, but we're not getting the we're getting more backlash than Black Lives Matter does.
Hey, Fluffy Unicorn. When somebody shoots you down and leaves your dead, bleeding body in the middle of the street, then we can talk about how you're being oppressed, sunshine. God almighty, the stupid. And yeah, Carol Baker, you're right. It sort of it should not go without saying that the Black Lives Matter movement didn't bring guns to their protest. They were shot at and didn't shoot back. And they didn't say, well, we won't use violence and let it be, but we're prepared to die. Freedom! Wolverines! The degree of disconnect here is nothing short of stunning. And no one confronts it, except us. You know, this little bitty community, the truth seekers over with Malloy, a few other radio programs. But I take that back. Credit where credit's due. Over on CBS, Stephen Colbert. Took a few well-aimed shots at him. Jibes, not shots, jibes. Go-gurt-slurping Oregon militants at the Ammon Bundy Preserve for the Armed and Cranky. But over on Chicken Noodle News? Well, they brought on... a guy named Roderick, Wee-Wee Swadowick. They brought on Art Roderick, who said that, these militiamen, these armed thugs, well, they're not a threat like Black Lives Matter is, because, quote, no, I'm not, no, never mind, I'm going to run this.
What do you think the conversations are right now within the federal government and within local law enforcement about what to do next? You know, we're looking at pictures from last night and from yesterday. We don't have anything new from there this morning. It's still early in the morning there. But we know that there are at least a dozen, maybe more, people on this property. Presumably, some law enforcement's either on the way or already there.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, hopefully we won't do what had happened at the Bundy Ranch last year sometime or a couple years ago, is that we don't go out there with a large force, because that's exactly what they're looking for. And you know, we've got to negotiate this through. And I think a key part is going to be tomorrow, what happens at the federal courthouse. And I know there was a quote that you guys had picked up from the U.S. attorney.
Well, it turns out he was wrong about that. There was no big, no.
Out there in Oregon, and hopefully calmer heads will prevail here. And the last thing we need is some type of large confrontation, because that's when stuff goes bad. And I think in this particular instance, if we just wait them out, see what they've got to say, that eventually they're all going to go home. I mean, people are just starting to show up now, and this group could get fairly large with supporters as this news spreads out throughout the country. And hopefully if we just sit back, wait them out, things will calm down and everybody will go home.
You know what's going to happen next, though. You know the presidential candidates are going to get asked about this. Right. You know President Obama is going to be asked about this. You know it's going to become politicized. And we've already heard from activists online, many of them, I've been reading from them all morning, to say if these were Black Lives Matter protesters or if these were peaceful Muslim Americans, they'd be treated very differently by law enforcement. Do you think there's truth to that argument?
We're not talking about, I think you had mentioned.
Hockey puck.
In the opening, because this is a very rural area. It is out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. What are they actually doing? They're not destroying property. They're not looting anything. Right, exactly. I mean, you know, there's a whole separate situation going on as to exactly why they're there, and that'll be worked out through the legal process. But I think now that they've taken over this location out at the Fish and Wildlife, this brings in the federal side. And I know the federal government has learned over the years.
They're not destroying property. So that's why we haven't shot them. Or at least beaten the hell out of them, or tased them, or pepper sprayed them, or had some National Guard snipers point weapons at them. Jesus Christ. Professional journalism. Gotta love it. By the way, at the press conference, they did let their demands be known. They want 2 cases of Cheetos, 1 case of pork rinds, 4 cans of original Pringles, a Weed Eater, a rubber chicken, some peach preserves, a 55-gallon drum of the institutional size of that Kentucky jelly, and a case of battery-operated pocket vaginas. Oh, and a Three Musketeers bar. No gluten. No nuts. They got plenty of nuts already. Yeah. Let's go talk to Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bob. I'm Brother Bob.
Bless you, my son.
Thank you. I need it. I need prayer. I'm so torn on how to deal with these freaks. On one hand, I know it's a news story because of the racial disparity, right? But on the other hand, I don't want to give these mental midgets any more coverage than they deserve. You know? And it's like, I just get so frustrated when I see more stories and the publicity. Bernie Sanders can't get on the TV machine. And he's running for president of the United States and closing in on Hillary in Iowa and New Hampshire. And yet, Cliven Bundy's son, who invades a bird sanctuary where there are more birds than people, is headlining.
Well, maybe not this time of year.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like, I get it's the corporate media, but here we have a story about TransCanada suing President Obama over his Keystone Pipeline decision using NAFTA, which is basically...
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that earlier.
Yeah, a little version of the TPP, but that's not news. This is what will calm down when we get the TPP. That's
well, and Roger in Oregon's been pointing out that the TPP comment period, the 90-day cooling off period or whatever. Never mind.
Yeah, it's whatever. You know, I mean.
You know what? I stand convicted. I am guilty, 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 guilty.
No, but see, that's
I can't look away from this, Tom, because this is real.
No, and that's
this is real. It's stupid. They're stupid. I mean, really, you invaded a bird sanctuary. But it is nonetheless classic sedition.
But therein lies why I am so torn when I do my show prep and I'm like, oh, Jesus, no, please, God, just, I don't want to look at that, you know, and I saw it building up over the weekend and it's like, we have a presidential election where Bernie Sanders is only 11 points down in California, a state that Hillary should be slamming his head against the wall because he's a socialist, you know. But that's not news. All the reports say she's maintaining her lead. And all I can think is, that's maintaining a lead?
Right.
You know? It's
well,
like,
because it's supposed to be a boat race. The fix is supposed to be in.
Yeah. You know, and I look at it and then I hear, oh, the King, you know, Hussein in the White House.
I know.
You know, and his jackbooted thugs taking away our guns. It's like, and I say this on my show all the time, if he was a socialist usurper that I wished him he'd be, I'd never complain about him.
No, I he's running out of time, really.
Yeah, thank you.
But I give him credit. He's screwing with them. He's messing with their heads.
Yeah.
He's punking them now just because he can. He moved up his State of the Union address by 2 weeks just to mess with them.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're absolutely right, and I love it. I this is who I wanted, you know, 7 years ago when I finally gave in and, you know, stopped being a Hillary guy because he was the nominee, and I was like, okay, maybe this will be some hope and change. You know?
And there's been some.
There has. But
I mean, honest to God, if the man had, and I know, if you're a really serious progressive, you're supposed to just, you know, hate Barack Obama. But no. Because I can't help but wonder, within the imperial setting in which we find ourselves, what could he have done had he had a Congress? And more importantly, had he had a Senate? Because I do have a pretty good memory for history.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the stuff that got passed through the democratically controlled House of Representatives that went over into the Senate where Harry Reid let Republicans kill it.
Thank you. And therein lies my thing, where I say on my show all the time, hashtag midterms matter. Because, damn it, if we want to get these things done, and if we don't, and I said this, and I know people left when I ranted and raved, kind of like you did last night about Hillary, because I really took that to heart. That was like a big wake-up call to me, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm sure I'm persona non grata among a lot of people for that, because you know, you're supposed to call her Hitlery and Schillery.
I know, and I know, because I'm bashing all supporters, because we're not, because I was playing John, like you know our good Muslim lover, Mr. Longpaws, you know.
Yeah.
I was playing him, and it dawned on me that he's acting exactly how some of our liberal friends are acting. And I do sincerely think of them as friends. When it's, I'm going to act like a complete ass and take my toys away because I don't get what I want. And how does that help anybody?
Well, I don't know how to define it, Thomas.
Like I said, I need prayer tonight.
Well, come to the wrong place. Ask Kenneth Copeland. Maybe he'll get a word in next time he's between Boston and New Orleans on his Gulf Stream.
Yeah, but I have a demon in me, so that's not going to work out well.
I'm sure you got a lot of... Maybe the people who get their, under President Cruz or President Trump or President Rubio or whatever, maybe the people who get their food stamps cut all the way off can come and knock on a progressive purist door and get a hot steaming cup of ideological purity to nourish them.
Well, and not only that, what about the Congress who just, you know, we're lucky we have a Democratic president who will veto the cancellation of Obamacare once it hits his desk, but a T-Rump or a King Cruz?
Mm-mm. No.
Healthcare, goddammit.
Well, I mean, can I throw one thing out there that just seems so abundantly obvious to me, Thomas?
Sure, please.
Call Hillary a tool of Wall Street. I will not argue with you.
Agreed.
Say that she is entirely compromised by the corporate money she takes from all over. I will not argue with you.
Again, agreed.
Say, and you know what? The Supreme Court argument is even kind of dodgy for me, because I know what they think passes for a really cool Supreme Court nominee.
At one
point in time, Barack Obama was contemplating nominating a guy named Cass Sunstein, and he's just a horror. And he's a pal of Clinton's too. So that's not even that convincing for me anymore. But you know what? I have a lot of friends and relatives who are women. And there's one thing I feel absolutely 100% confident on. And that is should she be president, and should we persist in having this insane midnight in bedlam Congress? She won't back down on a woman's right to control her own reproductive health.
Thank you. I said,
I'm uterinely compromised. I ain't got one, but it still matters to me. because I got daughters, because I have a granddaughter, because there are lots of women who listen to this program, and because I have generally a pretty high regard for a woman's right to determine the workings of her own body. And it infuriates me to think that, you know, ideological purity could put a Ted Cruz in office who thinks that he's the person who needs to be the big government that needs to make the poor little dumb women folks' decisions for them.
Thank you, because I'm sorry. As much as I love doing this every day, and I love hearing you, and I love the network that I, you know, started because there was interest, I don't want to cover 4 years of a conservative who will trample this country. Or 8 years, God forbid. We did that already. Did we not learn anything?
Yep, the reign of error.
You know? And it's just like, I got accused of hating on Sanders supporters in my feed, and I wasn't doing that. You know, I was just, I was voicing agitation that I have and I heard you have last night with how, even though it's a primary, we seem to have this innate ability to, in our own way, behave exactly how the Rick Wileses of the world behave.
There's some of that, but the other problem, though, is this. Once the Republicans have a nominee, whomever that person is,
yes, Satan,
they will line up behind that person and declare that that person is the only hope America has, and because they are authoritarianly oriented, the right wing will get in line and march lockstep to the polls.
Yes, they will.
And they've already got an advantage because of all the gerrymandering in terms of House races. And they've already got an advantage because of the districting of the